It's us, isn't it? We are the commissioned. You know, the last individual who was on the screen, I'm not sure if he's here tonight, Maz, I'd like to announce that they had a baby boy this week. Yeah. His name is Isaac, and he's healthy. May's doing really well. Some people are like, I didn't even know May was pregnant. So, yeah, they really wanted to be here, and he's like, oh, Dan, we've got the cesarean booked in. That's when our baby is coming. They really wanted to be here tonight, and they're being Skyped in, or they're being, like, Facebook Lived in, because they wanted to be a part of this that much. So how about we all say congratulations? So good. Awesome, awesome. Well, we have loved having Pastor Dale and Karen with us this weekend, am I right? We love the largeness that you bring. We love the passion that you have for Jesus and the passion for sharing that with others so that more and more and more people know this Jesus who's transforming lives. We have thoroughly enjoyed it, but we know that there's still more. And we know that tonight, as you share, Karen, that it's going to actually be activating more things that God's already been sprinkling into our hearts. We're really excited about the message you bring, because just like Grace was saying, she preaches this message, but she lives this message. It's something she's doing. And last night, she was in a room. Dale and Karen were both in a room sharing with some of our young adults about how to disciple others. And she was sharing how she's discipled somebody else who's discipled somebody else who's discipled somebody else. So there's like four generations of discipleship happening because they actually believe that Jesus is the answer for a world. And tonight, you are not just going to be blessed, you are not just going to be inspired, but I believe that there's going to be things activated within you. So why don't you get yourself ready? Karen, please, won't you come? We're so excited. Go for it. I'm so glad.
Well, it's so great to be here with you. Thank you so much for such a great weekend. We just feel so inspired ourselves being with you. And, you know, we just love Dan and Amy. We just think they're doing a fantastic job. What great pastors they are. And we were just so excited when they invited us. I think well over a year ago now, we just put it straight in the diary. You know, no matter what, we're there. And, of course, you know, our good friends, Mike and Ann, we love hanging out with them. But it's just so good to be here. And I've loved every moment of it, you know, starting with Real Youth on Friday night. What a great group of young people. So great. And then last night with the young adults. And, you know, I just love what God is doing in this house. You know what I love more? What God wants to continue to do in this house. And so, you know, tonight I'm just going to bring the word that I think God's put on my heart. And I just love the fact that we get to do mission together. See, I just feel like I've come to part of the family, because you guys are just like us. You've got a heart for Jesus, heart to see what Jesus wants to do in the earth. And we are on mission together. We're building the kingdom here and now. The kingdom of God is for here and now. It's in us. And God's asked each one of us to share it now. And, you know, I can't believe that we get to do this. I don't know about you, but I get really excited when I think of the privilege it is that Jesus chose you and I to be alive at this time in history to make a difference. Did you hear what I said? To make a difference. See, we're here to make a difference. We're not here to be ordinary. We're here to be extraordinary. And God wants to continue to use us, and he's called each and every one of us to be his hands and feet, to be his mouthpiece, locally and to the nations of the world. You know, we are made in the image of God. We are made to be his representatives on the earth and to continue, and we continually have the responsibility of listening to what Jesus tells us to do. And how many know when you listen to what Jesus tells you to do, the best thing to do is obey it, is to hear and to obey what he asks us to do. And right throughout his scriptures, there's lots of things that he asks us to do. He talks a lot about people. He talks a lot about loving and serving people. That's what it's all about. And in Matthew 25, there's a scripture there I just want to read. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, "For in Matthew 25, verse 35, it says, For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. You did for me. You know, we are called to represent Jesus to the least, to those that are hungry, thirsty, naked, and marginalized. We are called to represent Jesus to the lonely, those that are hurting, oppressed, or prisoners, to the lost, those that are far from God, have never had the opportunity of hearing that there is a Savior that died for them and that they actually belong to the family of God. See, you can make a difference in this world when you understand the power we have to influence, and we are meant to be those that carry His name. We are meant to be those that carry the name of Jesus to the last, the least, the lonely, and the lost. You know, and faith promise giving allows you to have an influence in the lives of the least, the lonely, and the lost. You know, we may not necessarily have those people in our world every single day, but through this, you can reach out to those people. Through this, you get to do what Jesus told us to do. You get to be obedient to Jesus. You know, on the other side of this faith promise card is someone praying to be rescued right now. Someone praying, is there anybody in the world that can help me right now? You get to be the answer to someone else's prayer. You know, the kingdom of God is advancing. Around the world we see it and we know that it's happening. But is it advancing as fast or as effective as it could be? We saw those stats that were put on that screen, huge stats of people that are yet to hear the message of the gospel. And I think it could be. I think it could be advancing a whole lot faster. But the truth is, everyone that's called to carry His name, everyone that's called to be a follower of Christ, is not actually doing what Jesus has asked us to do. See, to follow Christ according to Christ, we are to take up our cross daily and follow. According to what Jesus says, this means that we are to lay down our lives for His. That we are to give up our rights for Him. That we are to surrender our agendas, our dreams, our desires for what He wants. We are to abandon our inadequacies and to take hold of the authority that He's given us and move in power and anointing. See, this is what I believe God's people are called to do. That we are called to lay down what we want for the sake of Him, for the sake of what He wants. And as I loved what Dan said this morning, this is called faith promise living. See, I love the example that Dan used, and he said, you know, we get to be down here and we get to say, you know what? I could budget. I can work out what I can do. This is how much I can actually do in time and money, in prayer for the kingdom of God. Sure, I'm willing to sacrifice. I could go that little bit further and I could probably give a bit more. I could probably sow in to the kingdom of God a little bit more. But here's where it really happens, people, when we step up into living. And what I'm talking about here is people that are prepared to live, to be faith promise living people. And when we come into this realm, we come into the supernatural. We move out of who we are, we move into who He is. We move out of what we want to do and we move into what He wants to do through us. And I believe that God is challenging each and every one of you. Started this morning, and I was very, very excited when Dan was speaking this morning because I felt like God had given me a word to just build on that. And so I want to talk about tonight what it is to be faith promise living people, to be those that are actually living in a new realm in God. And for some of you tonight, that's going to mean stepping out of where you are right now and stepping into something new. You know, I can't begin to imagine how much more exciting life could be, and yet it will be. Because when we are living for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when we are moving in the power and the authority that God wants to build in us and through us, life's going to get pretty exciting. You know, it's about God in us. It's not about us. It's about us believing that God wants to work powerfully through us. Do you know that God wants to work powerfully through you? He wants to work in you and he wants to work through you. See, we are to be conduits for the power of God, for the anointing of God. It's not about us. It's not about what we can do, but it's about him working through us. And why would we want to? You know, too often we get to that stage where we're like, oh, but I've got so much to offer. Let's lay it all down and just let Jesus work through us. He's just looking for great vessels that say, you know what, Jesus, it's all about you. It's all about you. Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 to 34. Just want to share this story. As Jesus and the disciples left the town of Jericho, a large crowd followed behind. Two blind men were sitting beside the road. When they heard that Jesus was coming that way, they began shouting, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Be quiet, the crowd yelled at them. But they only shouted louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. When Jesus heard them, he stopped and he called, What do you want me to do for you? Lord, they said, we want to see. Jesus felt sorry for them and he touched their eyes instantly and they could see and then they followed him. I think this is such an interesting story. Think about it. What was the point? What was the point of Jesus asking the question, what do you want me to do for you? He knew they were blind. He knew that, of course, they would want to see. But he wanted them to answer the question. He wanted them to actually say, I want to see. Did you notice that they didn't ask him for a cane? He could have given them a cane. He was a carpenter. He could have made it for them. But sometimes God is asking you, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Because we are asking for less than he's able to give. We're asking him for a cane instead of declaring what we want him to actually do in our hearts and our lives. See, we limit God by our confession and our belief in what he actually is capable of. Sometimes we forget that we are serving the God of the universe. Sometimes we forget that we are serving a very, very, very big God. And we ask him for less than he's able to do. I believe God wants to do more through us than we are allowing him to. And that's why I think there's a shift. There's a shift over this weekend in people's hearts and lives if you will be prepared to step out and to say, you know what, God, I'm going to take you at your word. And you watch what God will do if you will step out in faith and begin to live that faith-promised living life that he's called each and every one of us to. He's calling his church, I believe, to open their eyes and begin to see what he sees for your life, for your ministry in the areas of influence that he wants us to have. James 4, verse 2 to 3 says, Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you do ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You know, we have to be influenced by Jesus so that our cry for what we want, hear this, comes out of our motivation to please God. I'm not talking about you telling God that you want a new car or you want a new house or you want a holiday. I'm talking about aligning our hearts with the heart of God for the world and for people and then coming to God and say, God, I want to be used to see people's lives transformed. I want you to work in and through me in an amazing way so that people's lives can be changed. What do you want God to do? See, we have to be influenced by Jesus. Our motivation has to be to please God. And often we're asking God for things that he's already given us. We're asking for stuff he's already given us. And we just haven't taken hold of. I don't know how many times I've heard Christians say, I just want to be free. And yet the Bible tells me in John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Come on, let's stop asking God for stuff He's already given us. People constantly saying, oh, I just need to know what my purpose is. What am I here for? What am I on the earth for? Well, I'm pretty sure Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, go into all the world and make disciples. Teach them to obey all that I've said. See, that's our purpose, church, is to go and make disciples. Let's stop asking Jesus for stuff He's already given us and start asking Him for things that we want to see Him do through us and in our lives. We need to be in a place where we're asking God for what we want to see instead of settling for what we already have. If we are to be a people of influence, we need to start believing for things that aren't as though they are. It's called faith. It's called faith. You know, faith promise card helps us to share what we have and declare what we see. See, I don't want to see a people that just take hold of this and fill it in to ease their conscience. To say, well, I gave a faith promise card, that's what it's about. No, that's just the beginning. See, because God doesn't ask us just to give. He asks us to go. He asks us to pray. And when I say He asks us to go, He asks us to go tomorrow into our workplace. He asks us to go into our street. He asks us to go to our family. So yes, we need to give, but we also need to go, and we also need to pray. We need to make sure that we don't just pray for 5 minutes at a kingdom conference, but we actually become a people of prayer. Because let me tell you something about prayer. Prayer moves things on the earth. When God's people pray and actually believe, God does things. Things move. Surely we want to see children continue to have a hope and a future. Surely we want to see that. This helps with that. Surely we want to see children educated and come into a relationship with Jesus. Of course we want to see churches planted and lives transformed. But I wonder how many of us fill this out and then think we've done our bit, rather than filling this out and every day from now until the next kingdom conference, we're actually declaring things over people's lives. We're actually praying for the kids we see on the screen. We're actually declaring things over their life. We're actually speaking over churches that we hear of in the developing world and people that are needing to get saved. Know what you want and tell God. What do you want from God? Do you want a greater level of faith so that you can believe when you go to work tomorrow that you can actually lay hands on someone and see them healed? Do you actually want to move in the supernatural? Do you want to see lives transformed by the power of Jesus? Well, He wants to use you to do that. But we're not asking for it. What are we declaring? What are we saying to God? God, this is what I want. Will you fill me with a greater level of boldness so that I can actually start to share about you to other people? See, we don't do it because we're scared, because we're nervous. We let fear rob us. And let me tell you about fear and worry. Too many people are worried or live in fear of what's happened in the past, or they live in fear of what's going to happen in the future and they miss the present. Get in the present right now. Let go of the past. Don't worry about the future. God's got that. But work in the present. What is God wanting you to do right now, this day, here and now? You are here and now with the kingdom of God in you to make a difference, to declare some things, to prophesy some things into the atmosphere. See, I'm a great believer that God's people have authority, that God's people carry His power. And we start to declare things into the atmosphere. We start to declare things over people we know. Just maybe things will shift. Just maybe we've got that kind of power. I believe we have. I believe that's what God wants us to do. Our motivation is to align our hearts with the heart of God and start asking for what we want to see. Start declaring and prophesying into what's on God's heart. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 10, I want to read this through. Then I want to talk through this. You know, the Lord, it says, the Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again? O Sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I'll put flesh and muscle on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all around the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh form over the bones, then the skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. This is a great picture, I believe, for each and every one of us to understand that we are surrounded by dead bodies right now. We are surrounded by people that are dead in sin. This world is full of people that are lost, dying, and going to a lost eternity. Humanity is lifeless, it's lonely, it's lost. Our world is dying, and we, hear me, church, we, God's people, we look at the world and we tell God about it as if he doesn't know. We tell God, God, don't you realize what's happening? Of course he realizes. He knows better than we do. And we spend all our breath telling God what he should be doing instead of maybe starting to do something that God wants us to do. God knows what's going on. He knows about the children being orphaned and enslaved and abused. He knows about crime and refugees and genocides. His hardest task, listen to me here, his hardest task is actually finding a people that will believe that he has the ability and power to actually do the impossible. And here's the thing, God has chosen his people to do the impossible. He's chosen a people that will stand up and say, you know what, enough. We are here at this time in history to make a difference. We are the ones that are be the influence. We're the ones that are meant to carry the power and the authority of a living God that wants to reach out to the world. God's problem is not that he doesn't know what's going on. His problem is finding people that will stand together with him to make a difference in the world. Maybe, just maybe, we should be using our breath and the breath of the Holy Spirit to be speaking into our world, to be calling some bones back to life. Maybe we should be asking the Holy Spirit to breathe on some corpses, to declare life over lost, broken, and hurting people. You know, we use our breath to do a lot of stuff, but do we use it to actually declare life over situations? We're called to influence our community, and not in our own strength. There's little we can do. Already said that it's not about us, it's about Jesus. But what can God do if his people will stand up and declare who he is? What will God do if we actually step out and say, this is what I want. This is what I want to declare. This is what I want to see happen. God's promised that his word will go forth and not return void. Every time you speak God's word, we change the atmosphere. See, we use our breath to say a lot of stuff. And how much of that stuff is actually changing the atmosphere? Sometimes I think we waste a lot of breath. Sometimes I think we waste a lot of words. But God's calling us to be a people that start declaring some things over the atmosphere. Could the team come now? Thank you, guys. You know, we are here to declare life over death, to influence our surroundings. You are called to faith-promised living, which means that in your workplace, in your school, in your street, in your family, you are God's representative to bring life to that situation. Just because it's the way it is doesn't mean God wants it to be that way. He's waiting for his people to stand up and say, enough's enough. I'm actually going to start speaking to those dry bones. I'm actually going to start declaring some things over those situations. For that marriage breakdown, for that relationship failure, start speaking life into it. Start prophesying what it should be. What do you want it to be? What do you want God to do? You know, over five times throughout these 10 verses that I read, the words prophetic and speak and the word breath is used. Five times in 10 verses. I believe God wants us to start speaking life and hope into people's reality. Just because it's the way it is doesn't mean it's the way it should be. And I think it's going to take the Church of Jesus Christ standing up and declaring who we are in God, that God has given us the privilege. We get one shot at this, guys. One shot. Let's not waste it. Let's make our time in history count. And it means taking hold of what we believe God said and who God is so that we can see lives changed by the power of God. You know, our voice, fueled by the breath of the Holy Spirit, can prophesy into areas that are dead and need life, impossible situations that need the power of God and see it turn around. See, we know our words are powerful and we have to use them to speak life over death, to see things that should be and to speak things out and to bless rather than curse. When we influence, we change individuals. When we see individuals change, we see communities change. When we see communities change, we set the pace for the region to change. See, this is how the world will change, one life at a time. But it's going to take every believer standing up and declaring who God says you are and actually taking God at his word and saying, God, this is what I want you to do. This is what I'm prepared to step out and do if you will go with me. When we are speaking life over people and situations, we can see those situations turned around. I kind of think when God asks questions like, what do you want me to do? And can these dry bones live? I believe he's challenging us to step up. To step up and to tell him what we want. To stand up and to prophesy to some dry bones. To prophesy to see some situations change. So you have the power because of God in you to see situations change. Don't settle for things the way they are. Don't settle for family situations the way they are. Take hold of what the Word of God says and start declaring the Word of God over people's lives. Start prophesying into situations. Let's not limit what God wants to do in us and through us. Sometimes I think God must get so frustrated because we limit him. We won't step out. We won't open ourselves up. We won't say, God, I'm prepared to step out in faith. I'm prepared to step off the edge. I'm not going to do that. Because we believe we serve a God that wants to reach a world. We serve a God that wants us to be influencers, to influence where we are and what we're doing. That we will be a people that step out in faith tonight to do something new, not just in giving, but in living. I wonder, would you all just bow your heads right now, and I want you to close your eyes, everyone. And I want to ask you to imagine something right now, so it's really important that you all close your eyes. And I wonder, would you just think about those of you that have children, I want you to think about your children. Maybe you've got grandchildren. Maybe you've got someone you love. Maybe it's a brother, a sister, a mother. I want you to think about someone that means a lot to you, that you love with all of your heart. I want you to think about that person. See them, see their face right now. And you hear that they're in trouble. You hear that they've been abandoned and they're on the side of a road in some country. They're lost. They're alone. They're hungry. These are your people. These are people you love, your grandchildren, your children. They're in danger. There's no one there to fight for them, to give them a voice. They're on their own. What would you do? What would you do to help them? What would you do to rescue them? Wouldn't you do all that you could? Wouldn't you spend whatever was needed? Wouldn't you call all of your friends to come and help? Wouldn't you do whatever it took to get to them, to rescue them, to pick them up, to care for them, to love them? Wouldn't you do whatever it took? Whatever it cost. God sees so many of his children in this exact position. He sees so many of his children on the side of a road, abandoned, lost, alone, without a voice, no one to fight for them, no one to help them, no one to rescue them. And he's calling everyone that calls himself a friend of his. Where are my friends? Those that call me friend. God is looking for those that love him. He's calling on them to help. He's calling on us. You see, he's not here except through his body. Except through his body. We are his body. And when his body is not doing the rescuing, no one is. No one is. No one is.
Here am I, send me.
So who will go? people when my life was busy. I changed it to saying, my life's pretty full. But I actually want to change that to, hey, I've got room. Yeah. I've got room. You know, I believe that God is wanting us to make room for others here. That the challenge is for us in our life to make room for others in our day-to-day. To not be too busy, but to say, hey, I've got room. Let's spend time together. I'm challenged by God. Let's make room in our homes. Let's make room in our days. Let's make room in our church for others to come in. Let's make room here so that we can make room now all around the world. We can make room for the hungry to be fed. We can make room for the lost to be found. We can make room for others to encounter the love of Jesus. And I believe that's what this does. You'll see one of these on your seats. You want to just grab hold of it right now. This is our faith promise card. Because I read a verse recently and it was just somebody talking in Isaiah and they said this place is too narrow for me. Like this person thought there was no room for them, that they wanted to be in this place, but there was no room. It was too full already. But they said, this place is too narrow for me. And they said, make room for me to dwell in. And I believe that's the cry of people. If we could hear their hearts, they're asking, is there room for me? Is there room for me? And this makes room for people to come close to Jesus and experience His love and experience restoration to Him. When we not only are people that faith promise give, but we're faith promise living, we're making room in our lives for others to encounter Jesus both here and now. You know, church, I believe God is saying to us this scripture from Isaiah, clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large, spread out, think big, use plenty of rope, drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. You're going to take over whole nations. You're going to resettle abandoned cities. What are we speaking over our nation? What are we speaking over our families? What are we speaking over the people that we encounter day by day? God wants us to make room for them. To do that, we have to remove ourselves from the center of our lives. We have to ask Jesus to come and be the center. And that means making His plan the center of our lives. And He comes and He makes room. He makes room. You know, we look at our budget, what we can afford. We look at our income and our expense. It doesn't matter how big or small it is. We look at what we have, what we can give, maybe once off or regularly. We look at what we can give over the next year, and then we add to that this question. What room can I make? What room can I make? Meaning, what can I give up so that somebody else can enter a room and meet Jesus? What space can I make for somebody else to encounter His love? What room can I make? What can I afford? What room will I make for somebody else to know this same love and hope that I have? And then we add to it our faith that we trust God is who He says He is. We believe that He is the God of all resource and all ability, and there is no lack in Him. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what you think the reality is in your finance or what you've experienced in Him before. I want you to know He has so much more, that He's willing. Like Karen said, He's looking for people that will say, here, God, my arms are open. We're holding loosely to what we have. We believe that You can move in and through us. We want to be used by You. So we look at our budget. What can I afford to give? And we look at how we can make room for others. What can I give up so that somebody else can have? And then we look at God, who He is. We align our hearts with His plan, His heart for the lost. And say, Jesus, it's Your plan. You're going to make it happen. So when we fill out a card very shortly, I want you to see the room that we're creating. We're making room as we fill this in for the abused, for the lost, for those in slavery, for those that are hungry, for those that are cold, for those that are broken, for those that are confused, for those that are addicted, those that are heartbroken. to meet Jesus here, in this place, in our lives, and globally. We're making room for an orphan to come to the table and receive a meal and have an education and have a future. We're making room for those that just want to be used by God in India but don't know what to do to get training and to receive a bicycle and a blanket and a drum and then be sent off to militant areas to risk their lives because they want to make room for others to know Jesus too. We're partnering with them. If you have a look at the card, there's a space there for you to put your name. Say, hey, I own this. I'm going to be a part of this because everybody can be a part of this. Then tonight you can tick the third session because this is the third session for Kingdom Conference. Maybe you put in one of these cards already and you just feel challenged to actually trust God a little bit more. Then you can just, whatever session you tick, when you tick third, we'll discount the other session.